Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, walks us through one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Beautiful in its simplicity, as well as for what it means to us today. So open your Bibles to Genesis 15, verse 6, and let's read it now. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's grace. In the same way that me and you are saved today, by grace through faith. Dr. McGee added this, God never saves by any other means except grace. He has never had any other method of saving, and if you ever get saved, it'll be because you believe God, you accept Christ as your Savior, and you believe that God has provided salvation for you. And it's terrific news, something that we certainly never get tired of talking about. And you know, that's the message that we'll keep sharing. Isn't that right, Greg?
Absolutely, Steve. As long as God gives us breath and strength and the resources to do this, just like Dr. McGee said, play the tapes until
the
money
runs
out. Love that. And today, Steve, I want to do something that we get to do from time to time. I call it pulling back the curtain and letting our listening family know the kind of things that we're out there doing in order to keep the ministry on track and also bring back these wonderful stories. A few weeks ago, and you were actually able to join this call, we were up early. We started at 6 a.m.
Yep.
Here in California because of the time zones in Africa. And we had a Zoom call, which the whole world seems to be doing Zoom calls
yep.
these days.
Yep, we would have gone there, but because of COVID, we're doing a Zoom
Absolutely.
Call.
Just to give people a sense of the scope of this call, we had a partner offices. That is, these are the field offices of TWR that do the actual Through the Bible programs and do the follow-up and the listener relations. We had partners represented from Burundi, from Ethiopia, from Kenya, from Malawi, from South Africa, from a country that used to be known as Swaziland, now called Eswatini, and Zimbabwe.
Yeah. And those offices, by the way, some of them have multiple languages. For instance,
yes.
in Kenya, they've got Swahili, Kikuyu, and Somali. And that brings up the point of, well, why don't you just do English? Because everybody wants to speak English anyway.
That's
We've
right.
said this before, but I think it's important. We go into people's heart languages because there's, number one, not that much content
yeah,
there.
That's right.
It has greater access to their hearts because that's the first language that they learned. It's their mother tongue. And so that's why Through the Bible takes the time to go into these individual languages, and we're seeing the fruit. That's
yeah,
what's so exciting.
Yeah. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of resources, a lot of human resources, and a lot of financial resources. And
yeah.
we're just so grateful that our listening family is supporting us in prayer to get these doors open. And many of our listeners who are able are contributing to make it possible that we can fund these growth opportunities that are presented to us. And I just did want to say, on top of all those partner offices, there were TWR Africa staff who coordinate all the work inside of the whole continent. There was Ajid, who's the ministry director for East Africa, Spiwi, Simon, Hannah, and Juliet. And I did want to mention there's some a real encouragement. Hannah Bochiatum is the daughter of
yeah.
the late, great Stephen Bochiatum.
Yeah,
who
was a huge influence for Through the Bible and,
yes.
and for Transworld Radio in Africa, the impact that
yes.
he had.
And the Lord took him early, but his daughter is still serving the Lord in this kind of work and as a part of the TTB team around the world. And, of course, it's great, you know, for our listening family to hear about what we're doing and the people we're talking to. But of course, we always want to talk about the impact of the ministry.
Yeah. And we don't really just want to count the numbers, but you look at places like Amharic, the language of Amharic. We've been there for 20 years and we've had over 500,000 responses, people that have engaged with the ministry in that part of the world. And then nearly 9,000 people have made a testimony that they've come to Christ as a result of the program.
Yeah, and we're careful. I mean, you're on the board of directors, Steve, and you could testify that the board doesn't ask me for numeric reports like this. The reason we pay attention to these kind of numbers is that it gives us a sense of what God is doing. It's not the total. In fact, I'm sure more than 8,000
yeah.
people got saved, but God has let us see that over 8,000 people got saved. Similarly, in the Oromo language, also spoken in Ethiopia, in a 16-year time span, almost 500,000 direct responses and almost 8,000 people saved.
Yep.
Very encouraging.
Yep. And you go down the line to Greenia. We've only been there for 5 years, but still over 8,000 responses and over 3,000 people have said that they've trusted Christ.
Yeah, and so just from this one small office based in Ethiopia managing these three languages, over 1 million responses and almost 17,000 people who said, yes, I came to Christ listening to through the Bible.
The other thing that I find so encouraging is that over the last 20 years, 19 people have written in to say that they became pastors as a result of Through the Bible. So you are part of a traditional terrestrial broadcast ministry by supporting this. You're part of the digital initiative that we've talked about. And I like to say that Through the Bible is also a church planting organization by virtue of these guys getting saved and they're going out and starting churches.
And you know, I love it when we don't get to take credit for these kind of things. I love it that we can say we're just not smart enough, but the Holy Spirit has chosen to use this simple Bible teaching ministry to plant, I believe, hundreds, perhaps thousands of churches around the world.
Yeah.
And we just give praise to him for that.
Also, just to remember, Africa is predominantly a Muslim continent. And so the impact of Through the Bible, a lot of these folks that come to Christ, they are putting literally their jobs, their family, their life in danger by trusting Christ. This is not an easy move to make.
No, Islam is growing very rapidly in Africa, and we hope that we're part of God's answer to offset that very scary development. Now, there was also a great, great testimony that we received from this gentleman named Wakshuma, who leads this office, about just 3 days before the call, he actually got a phone call. You want to tell us about
that? Yeah, it was eight prisoners in Ethiopia again, and they all share a single cell, which I'm sure the place wasn't built for eight guys in a cell, but they all listened to Through the Bible together. All of them were unsaved. Four of them were Muslims, and by the time the call ended, all eight of them had come to the Lord.
It's amazing, Steve. All we do is give out the word, and God does the rest.
Yeah, it is truly an incredible thing. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, our hearts are warmed, and we rejoice to see your power at work through your word as your servants give it out faithfully. We pray you would continue to honor and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we give out your word all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come today to verse 6, and I'd like to read it here in the 15th chapter. And he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now here is one of the great chapters of the Bible, and this is one of the great verses of the Bible. You'll recall that God appeared to Abraham after his victory over the kings of the east, and God had protected him. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And this man, Abram, is a little disturbed. He asks about the fact that he doesn't have a child. One born in his house is the one that will inherit and be in the line. And God took him by the hand. It was night, and led him out and said, look yonder toward the stars. If you can number them, well, you could number your offspring. He couldn't number the stars. He could see approximately about 4,000, but there probably were over 50,000 in that area where he was looking. He couldn't number them. He couldn't number his offspring. You couldn't today. Now, Abraham believed God. Actually, what it means is Abraham said amen to God. God says, I'll do this for you. And Abraham said to God, I believe you. Amen. I believe it. And that was counted to him for righteousness. Now, this is so important that we need to make a check on this. Paul used it. For instance, you have him in the 4th chapter of Romans. Paul quotes this verse. And let me read that, beginning with verse 1 of the 4th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Or let me change that reading. Abraham has found as pertaining to the flesh. I think that brings out the meaning better. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that is, his faith, was counted to him for righteousness, for that's what it was not, but that's what God counted it. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, if you can work for your salvation, then God owes it to you. But my friend, God never saves by any other means except grace. He's never had any other method of saving. And if you ever get saved, it'll be because you believe God. You accept Christ as your Savior. You believe that God has provided this salvation for you. And he makes it very clear here in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, no works at all, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. What kind of folk? Ungodly folk. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's counted for what it's not, and that's for righteousness. Now, Abraham just believed God. He just accepted what God said, and he believed God. That's the way you get saved, is to believe that God has done something for you, that Christ died for you, and rose again, and God will declare you righteous by simply accepting Christ. Now, in the third chapter of Galatians, you have that same great truth, by the way, and we're told here in verse 8 of Galatians 3, in the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then we're told back in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Faith that Abraham had made him faithful to God. But he's not saved by being faithful, he's saved by believing God. That's all important to see. Now, Abraham was a very practical man. He was not filled with a phony piosity, as we see a lot of that today. He's very practical. He now wants to know something, and he'd like to have something in writing. Will you listen to verse 7? He said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Here God again says, I'm giving you this land to inherit it. And Abraham doesn't even have a deed. He has nothing in writing. And as I said last time, God told him to go down to the courthouse, and I'll meet you down there, and we'll sign a contract. And you say to me, well, I've read that in my Bible, and it's certainly not there. Oh, it is in your Bible. You just have to read it right, though. Verse 8, and he said, here's Abraham now, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You've told me that. How shall I know it? I'd like to have it in writing. Now, here's what God said do. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. Now the thing that God said for him to do is that you get a sacrifice, you get a heifer, she-goat, a ram, and you divide them down the middle. That is, split them right down the middle. Put one half on one side, one half on the other. Turtle doves you don't divide. You put one turtle dove over here, one over there. Now, when men made a contract in that day, that's the way they made it. They would fix a sacrifice like this, and the two men who were making a contract, if one man agreed to buy sheep from the other one, the party of the first part joins hands with the party of the second part, and then they state their contract. One says, this I agree to do. The other says, then I'll pay you so much. They join hands and walk through that. Now, that in that day corresponded to going down to the courthouse and signing before a notary. That's exactly what took place. Now, you'll notice that Abraham got everything ready according to what God wanted him to do. Notice verse 11. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. This is sure a very human scene. If you had been there, you would have probably have seen all this display of the sacrifices, and you had known the custom of the day. I probably ought to turn and read from Jeremiah 34:18, for here you have a reference to this custom that was prevalent in that land, not just among these people, but all other peoples in that day. And here's a reference to it. I'm reading Jeremiah 34:18. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. You see, this was the method in that day of taking the sacrifice, and dividing it, and the men then make the contract. Now, Abraham gets everything ready, and while he's waiting for the Lord, why, the fowls of the air come down, the buzzards, the crows, and all other carrion. And Abraham's there shooing them away. They were ready to swoop down. And you would say, well, Brother Abraham, apparently the one you're making a contract with hasn't shown up. And he said, no, hasn't. Says, I guess he's late. No, Abraham says, I don't think he's late. He just told me to get things ready and that he'd be here and make the contract. Now notice what happened. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now this is the thing that took place. Abraham is paralyzed in sleep and put aside. Now that seems very strange that God would paralyze him in sleep when he's supposed to be making a contract. This is an unusual contract. God is going to go through because God's promising something, and Abraham's not going to go through because Abraham's not promising to do a thing. He just believed God. That's all. My friend, that's exactly what took place 1900 years ago. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son agreed to come to the earth and die for the sins of the world, your sin and mine, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And I wasn't even there. 1900 years, I wasn't even there to make a contract. But God the Father and God the Son did, and he went to the cross and he died for my sins. And I was paralyzed by sin. I couldn't promise anything. You couldn't either. Abraham's not going to promise anything. Suppose that God had said to Abraham, Abraham, if you'll just promise to say your prayers every night, I'm going to do this for you. And suppose Abraham forgets to do this and doesn't pray one night. Well, the contract is shot. It's broken. And therefore, God doesn't need to make his part good. God said that he'd do it. And he's asking man to do just one thing. Say amen to God. You believe it. Believe what God has done. Friends, that's salvation. And it's to believe God. Years ago, a dear little Scotch mother, her son had gone away to Glasgow to college, and he came back rather an unbeliever. And she was talking with the boy and telling about how wonderful God was and that she was sure of her salvation. Well, he had become skeptical, and he was a little provoked, and finally he said, how do you know you're saved? Why, he said, your little soul doesn't amount to anything, and he began to compare her to the vastness of the universe and said, God could forget all about you, and you can't be sure. And she never said anything. She just kept serving the boy's breakfast. And finally, when she'd finished, she sat down with him, and she said, you know, son, I've been thinking about it. Maybe you're right. Maybe my little soul doesn't amount to much. Maybe the vastness of God's universe would mean he wouldn't miss me at all. Says, you know, says, if he doesn't save me, he's going to lose more than I'm going to lose. And he says, what do you mean? Well, just as you said, my soul doesn't amount to anything. I wouldn't lose much, but he's going to lose his reputation. He promised to do it. He agreed to do it, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, God's the one went through. God made the contract, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years. In the scripture, it's predicted these people would be put out of the land three times. This is the first one. It's also predicted they'd return back to the land. They did from this one. Later on, it was the Babylonian captivity. They were carried into captivity, they returned. At 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and again they were scattered. They have never returned from that, but it's predicted they will come back someday. Now God says, also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they did. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Abraham would not live to see it, of course. Verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God says, I can't put you in this land now because I love Amorites too, and I want to give them a chance to turn to me. And God gave them 400 years. That's a long time, is it not, to see if they wouldn't turn to him. And the only one that turned to him in that land was that Canaanite, you remember, Rahab the harlot. She turned to God. She believed him. And that's all God asks you to do, is to believe him. But he gave the Amorites all this opportunity. It came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Both of those speak of Christ. The furnace speaks, of course, of judgment. The lamp speaks of him as the light of the world. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, unto the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And God now marks out the land. By the way, what did Abraham promise to do? Nothing. He believed God. God will save you. Saves you by grace, by believing what he's done for you. Now, we come to chapter 16, and I must confess that you almost wish chapter 16 wasn't in the Bible, that God had left it out. Because after Abraham rose to the heights here, well, you would say, well, believe me, he's certainly treading on high places now. But he's not perfect. We see the lapse of this man's faith here relative to Sarah and Hagar, the Egyptian maid. Now let me read chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. You see, he got two things down in the land of Egypt that really caused him trouble. Wealth was one thing, and this little Egyptian maid he got down there. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now the thing that this woman has suggested was the common practice of that day. When a wife couldn't bear a child, there was the concubine. And that was common practice of that day. But don't say God approved this. God did not approve of this at all. This was Sarah's idea. And frankly, it was not contrary to the custom of the day. And Abram listened to her. It looks like he's surrendering his position as head of the home here. And he followed her suggestion. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, this little Egyptian maid becomes a concubine, and this is not according to God's will. God's not going to accept the offspring at all. He didn't. He wouldn't. Why? Because it was wrong. Don't say God approved this. All that you can say is that this is in the record because this is a historical fact that took place. Now we read, he went in unto Hagar, she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You can see, she said, I've mothered a child of Abraham, and Sarah couldn't do it. She looked down on Sarah, you see. And now notice verse 5, and Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong is upon me. Now, look, don't go by that. Don't say that God approved of this. He didn't. God says this is wrong. Now Sarah sees that she's done wrong. My wrong be upon me. She's wrong, my friend. And I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. God doesn't approve of it. God will not accept this, and it's going to be a real heartbreak to old Abraham. But you see, they're not really trusting God as they should. After all, Abraham at this time is 90 years old. Sarah's 80. I think they'd come to the conclusion that they were not going to have a child. I'm of the opinion that probably Sarah could rationalize and say, well, I think maybe this is the way God wants us to do it, for this is the custom of the day. And it was the custom of that day, but it's contrary to God's way of doing things. You know, we get the wrong impression if we think just because it's in the Bible, God approves of it. And the only thing that's inspired is that it's an accurate record. But there are many things God does not approve of that are recorded in his word. This happens to be one of them. But we'll have to wait till next time to pick up our story. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Tomorrow, we'll witness God's faithfulness despite Abraham's sin. It's a reminder that we all need. To learn more about Through the Bible and the resources that you can use to dig deeper into God's Word yourself, why don't you visit ttb.org today or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwartz, praying that God's Spirit makes His Word alive for you today.
Jesus made it home. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.